and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore the many paths to transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it might feel counterintuitive, like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, otherwise known as the Practical Alchemist, and I'm delighted to have you with me for today's show, brought to you in association with NasalGuard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants. It blocks indoor and outdoor allergens, so it's great for travellers, as well as people with pet allergies and hay fever, which many of us are enduring at the moment. Now, NasalGuard may be a great prophylactic, a way to prevent symptoms, but how do we deal with illness once we've succumbed? If we develop a chronic disease, should we just settle for managing it, fitting our life around it? Well, not according to my guest today. Katie Rose Jones was diagnosed with ME, or chronic fatigue syndrome, more than 10 years ago. She was told that was it, that she would just have to live with it and adapt her life accordingly. And she did for a while. But she's here with me today to tell you how she has now been symptom-free for 4 years. Now, the mum of two has written a book with the hope that it will help others facing the same diagnosis. The book's called Chronically Awesome: Curing the Incurable, Giving Emmy the Middle Finger, Uncovering Trauma, and Awakening the Spirit. And it not only charts her journey, but offers practical help for others looking to become symptom-free. I started off our chat by asking Katie to tell us a little about her journey.
Yeah, so I was diagnosed when I was 18, and there was just no information given from the doctors. It is just a case of, here's your diagnosis, now go adjust your life to live around it. So that is what I did. And I, because of everything, so I met some other people that had ME through like Facebook and things, but everyone said the same thing as well, that this is it for life. So to me, that was a story I told myself, that there is no getting better. I've just got to adjust my life to fit these symptoms. But then over the years, the symptoms got worse. It's like every year I developed a new symptom. And I've since learned that the reason that happened as well was because I was surrounding myself with people with ME. And then they would talk about their symptoms. And I'm like, oh, well, if they're diagnosed with ME, I don't have that symptom. So then my mind unconsciously has gone, okay, we need this symptom too to prove that we have ME. And it's just mind-blowing how the mind even works. And I got to a point where I had these tremors and muscle spasms. And this is when everything really got bad. This is when things were the hardest, because I was no longer able to kind of look after my kids. I was struggling with that anyway, but this just was like pushing me over the edge. My husband had to take on a bigger role around the house. And I found it really hard to be around my kids, which then led to the internal thoughts of, oh, I can't do this anymore. I don't know how to stay here. I just don't know what I'm doing. And yeah, then I got to a point where I just had a moment, like you do, you know, that knowing. And I remember it so vividly, being in my front room, sitting on the sofa, Walter, my wheelchair next to me. And I wasn't spiritual at the time. Like I believed in something, but I didn't know what it was. And I felt like somebody was standing at the end of my sofa. And it's like all I heard was, you were destined for so much more. And it was like, yeah, which blew my mind, because the other part of my mind is going, I can't do this. I don't know how to function. I don't know if I want to stay here like this. But then when I had that feeling, that knowing, it was like it spoke to every cell in my body. So it was almost like it kind of planted something. I didn't know what at the time, mind, but it was just hope. It was something that I'd been lacking, because at this point, I must have been suffering for about 7 years, I think, something like that. And from that moment, I was like, what can I do then? If I am destined for more and I really feel that, what am I supposed to do? How do I get there? It's like I wanted more than this sentence. Like I want, give me some bullet points or something to follow. And like the universe does, it provides. And I found myself stalking someone on Facebook because she also suffered with ME, but she was started taking these supplements, and I was like, okay, what are these? So I followed her first because I was like, she can try them out and then I'll do it if it works for her. So that's what I did. They were working for her. So I was like, I'll give that a go. And that was the very start of my journey of saying, do you know what? That belief of I can't be cured, that belief of this is it forever, might not be true, which is again triggering to the body then, because I've lived 7 years of telling myself, this is it. It doesn't get any better. This is just it forever now. So that was jarring within my body, but at the same time, that little seed that was planted outweighed all that because there was a possibility. And if there's possibility, there might be something more. And at the time, even though it felt like, yes, that I'm going to be better in a way, that definitely didn't solidify in. It was more along the lines of maybe I could just have some energy, just something so I can be a better mum is all I wanted, really.
It's almost like a cognitive dissonance, isn't it? When somebody tells you one thing, like, oh, this is you now for life. And then a little bit along the way, somebody says, no, that's not true at all. You can be. But then because you've told yourself that this is how you've got to be, and you've believed in that, it's very difficult for a lot of people to push themselves out of that conditioning. So fantastic. And you'd seen all kinds of specialists and people along the way, hadn't you? But none of them had really helped you greatly in order to get out of this. It's not a syndrome, but I mean, it's a whole, you go into it in the book, it's a whole host of things going on in the body at one time. And they all need to be addressed.
Oh,
It's not just a
absolutely.
one, it's not like you can take an antibiotic and there it is gone. Right.
Yeah. Oh, if
Exactly. So tell us then what that journey was. So you started taking a supplement, which was a nutritional supplement, which is basically just
Dried fruits and vegetables in a
dried
tablet.
fruit and veg. Yeah, exactly. Which is what a lot of people lack. A lot of us are lacking, and a lot of people think they eat well. But actually, they're not eating well enough is the problem. And again, if you say to somebody who thinks they eat well, oh, you're not really eating well enough, they'll go, I have a very good diet, thank you very much. But they may still be deficient in many things.
I found it fascinating that just taking a couple of tablets every day increased my energy, reduced my pain, and even the tremors and spasms weren't as intense. And I was like, how can that come from just a couple of fruits and veg in a capsule? It was just, but then that for me, that's triggering in like, why? I need to know why. I need more information. So I actually trained to do a nutritional therapy course, because just purely because I needed more information. I needed teaching. I needed to learn more. And like dairy was one that I found quite fascinating. In when I cut it out entirely at one point, and my pain just disappeared. And I was like, are you kidding me? Is that all it was?
Yeah, that's the other thing. We don't want to give up on something that we enjoy, right?
Yeah, because I was a massive chocoholic as well. Like I would devour a galaxy in no time at all. But now I start eating chocolate and I get to a point where that's enough. Otherwise I will feel sick. Whereas before I just didn't have that filter because it was what I was always putting into my body. So it just didn't notice anymore that it wasn't, because like the body, it's foreign. Anything that's processed, it's foreign to the body. So it doesn't actually know, your body's not created to deal with that. So it just gets stored and it takes longer to process things. And Whereas if you're eating well, as in like whole food, eating things that your body knows how to deal with, then that is being processed normally so that your body can still focus on all the other functions that it's got to do. And I'm like, why are we not taught this? Why?
Yeah, good question. I ask it all the time. Why are we not taught this? But it wasn't just the nutritional side of things that you learned about and really started working for you. You started to uncover layers of different aspects that would increase your susceptibility to this condition. Do we call it a disease? I'm never sure with these things.
I think everybody uses different words, to be honest. It's just a label at the end of the day, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Right. So nutritionally, you were getting there. You learned all about that. But there were other things as well, weren't there?
Yeah. So I actually joined the company that sold the nutritional supplements. And you were encouraged to read self-development books. And I was like, what is a self-development book? I'd never heard of such a thing. But I did it because I was like curious. I was like, people are talking like so positively about all these different things. And I was like, I want some of that. So, and it's not like I was doing anything else. I was sitting on the sofa. So I started reading some books and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And a lot talk about like mindfulness and meditation and things like that. So I'd started that, which really helped when it came to the anxiety side of things that I was suffering with, because I can't even tell you how many times I've been to a school run and had pure fear running through my body because, you know, I had to leave the house. I didn't know if my legs were going to still continue to work while I picked the kids up. And what happens if someone speaks to me? You know, I have to have a conversation with someone. And all these things. So before I've even left the house, I'm in a state. And so learning meditative sort of techniques and breathing, oh my God, breathing. Who would have thought breathing could be so beneficial for you?
I've said that so many times. And also, let me just jump in here.
Yep.
Running, you were an athlete. You were a runner.
Yeah.
And had to give that up.
I did. I ran for Wales a fair few times in the end. I was number one in Wales at 800 metres. I loved it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved training. I wasn't fussed if I had to go to training. I was fussed if it was a really long run I had to do because I was a middle distance runner. So that was the only time I didn't enjoy something. But I was training like six times a week, occasionally twice a day. And I went from that and my races were being affected and I was like, oh, something's going on and I couldn't understand it. And I kept trying to run over and over and over again. I wouldn't give up. I was like, no. I finally, years later, accepted it's just never going to happen. And then over the last 2 years, I'd say, I started running again. And I was like, oh my God, it took me so long to let go of that now I'm actually finding resistance to the fact that I can run because I don't work. It's like, do you know, isn't it? It's so annoying that you get that. You finally
Laughing, but I mean, it's just life, right?
Isn't
it's just incredible. Yeah.
To finally let go of something. And then it's like the universe goes, do you know what? Well done for letting that go. We're going to give it back to you now. You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Exactly. So that's fantastic to hear. I mean, who would have thought when you were lying completely, couldn't do anything, who would have thought that you would have been back to running again? And you were told that you wouldn't be. So, you know.
Yeah.
Getting back to the personal development stuff. So you started reading all these books and that actually grew as well. So you really got into all of that, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I found that's when I started that. I think I thought I was a positive person. Everyone told me how positive I was because I have a knack of making anything into a joke. And it's how I survived. But then people think, oh, she's okay. She's not that bad. But what I found when I was reading the books was, okay, outwardly, I might be positive. I might look like I'm doing well. But internally, my thoughts did not align with that at all. They were very, very negative and very dark and twisty at some points. But I started using sort of tools and techniques put in some of the books of the simple one of gratitude, like that one. I'm like, is it really that simple? But it was. And that's the thing. We overcomplicate everything. And I think because when you're told this is it for life, you're not going to get better, that when somebody tells you you can get better, you then instantly think, oh, it's going to be really hard. There's no way. I'd have to really work for it if I was going to do that. But actually, no, you just do some simple things every single day and build it up over time. And then it's not so daunting and you're more likely to show up for yourself. But like my positive someday was making a cup of tea, because there were days where I couldn't stand up to put the kettle on. So, or standing up to brush my teeth was another one. I was like, well done, Katie. You could actually check yourself out in the mirror today to make sure your hair isn't actually a full on blown mess. Not that anyone was going to see me.
Yes, gratitude, easy, but sometimes the easy steps are tough. Like when we have a whole load of blocks to move through first. Now, time for us to take a short break, but we'll have more on this and the other actions that Katie took after these messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my guest today, Katie Rose Jones, author of Chronically Awesome. Talking about the blocks that can prevent us from taking the simplest steps, here's Katie on how she managed to move on from gratitude to other ways of breaking through her blocks.
Yeah. I started with yoga because I was bedridden for like about 3 months and I was starting to get better. I'd been for a very rare doctor's visit because the tremors were so bad. I just got to the point where I was like, I need to speak to someone, I need to do something. And that was the first doctor that actually listened to me and didn't make me feel like I was making stuff up. And he put me on diazepam and it helped. I had to take it 3 times a day, but I was like, okay. But he explained, he was actually the first person to explain something to me that I was like, oh, it's like it planted a seed. I couldn't fully do anything with it because of where I was with everything else. But there was definitely a planting of a seed at that point, because he explained to me about messages from the mind being sent to the body. And I was like, well, I know this because biology, and I'd done all that at school. So I understood it in that way. He simplified it. He didn't make it into a really big thing where I couldn't absorb the information. He just gave me a very sort of simple explanation of there's messages being sent to your body and they're just like the wiring is wrong, basically. And then he explained about another patient. It was a different thing. It was psoriasis for that patient. But once they went on the diazepam, it helped to, again, it was the stress side of things and the wiring of the mind. And I was like, oh, okay. I feel like he's listened. He's also given me an explanation to something. So I was more willing to then actually take the tablets, because I'm not somebody that likes to take tablets anyway. So I started doing that, and then I was getting out of bed at that point. I was able to get around the house a lot more. So then I was like, let's just try some yoga. Really simple, short ones, nothing fancy. And I started to feel better. And I learned I was breathing wrong as well. I was breathing back to front. I was like, I didn't know that was possible. That was a really good starting point. Again, developing more on the meditation side. And then I sort of naturally progressed into the spiritual side of things. I'd not really dipped my toe in that area before, but I was curious. And I've always been to a medium with my mum. Like we've always been like, ooh, this'll be interesting. Let's see if anything comes true. Because I'm a massive skeptic as well, which makes me laugh about what I do now. Because I still find myself skeptical every now and then. Like when those sort of negative thoughts start to come in and they take over and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm making this up. And that was a big thing at the start, feeling like I was making everything up or over-exaggerating. And I was like, oh. But it was a starting point for me to understand the spirit side of myself. And I became obsessed. I'm not going to lie. I was like, I want to learn everything. So I went into Reiki. That was really good in the way that it was the first thing that my body relaxed. Like my body had forgotten how to relax because of how tense my body would become when I have like the tremors and things. So it was like my body was in a constant state of stress. And even though I thought I was relaxed, I wasn't actually relaxed at all. So I was never in that place to be able to heal. My nervous system was never in that sort of parasympathetic, that rest and digest area. It just never seemed to reach there. And when I was having the tremors, it was like all of my bodily functions were directed at just keeping me alive. That was the only goal, to the point where I actually had a heart rate variability test done. I did mitochondrial therapy as well. And they did a view on my heart because they were concerned with how high my heart rate was. And it came back and half of it, well, it looked like half of it. I'm not going to say it was specific, it was 15%, but it looked like it, was red. And it wasn't supposed to be, it was supposed to all be green. And they told me I'd be lucky if that heart lasted 5 to 10 years, if it kept going the way it was going.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And I was like, me being me, I was like, oh, like that was my answer. Like I wasn't expecting it. I didn't know how to react. I was just like, okay.
It's weird how we react when we get news like that.
Yeah. It was just too much for my body to process, my mind to process. So it's easier just to ignore it.
Yeah.
But luckily for me though, I was doing the mitochondrial therapy and they changed the way that I was taking certain supplements, but also we put in beta blockers as well to help with the heart side of stuff. And when I went back for testing a couple months later, it was nearly all green. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that great though, that you were able to use a combination of things and actually get that back on track? So we've talked about mindfulness, we've talked about yoga. So that's the physical again, but also the physical combined with the breathing and the, you know, spiritual. But then you also studied NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and that helped you hugely as well, didn't it?
Oh, massively. It was a game changer, absolute game changer. So I felt it was quite funny though, because I'd signed up and you had to listen to so many hours of recordings before you went to the actual training. But those recordings, I realized later that it triggered me because it was going against my belief systems. And so I didn't actually go to the training the first time around. I cancelled it.
No.
I know, because I was so, I flared up. I had really bad symptoms because my mind is like, right, how can we protect her? Because right now, everything is chaos. It's not as we know it. So what can we do? So I was saying it like, you know, we're having this conversation. I had no idea what any of this is going on. But the symptoms came out as a way of protecting me, because every symptom, everything we experience is a form of protection in some way or another, which sounds so crazy, because it's like, why? Why would tremors be helpful? Why would pain be helpful? But if you sat and actually dissected it and went, right, okay, when I have this pain, what does it give me? Well, it allows me to stop for a start and rest. That's one, because you tend to push and push and push. And then when I'm like, well, when I'm resting, what is it that I can also get from this? Like, why did the pain really present itself? And I found out that it was because I wanted attention from my husband.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you would never have allowed yourself to think that.
No.
Normally.
Oh, absolutely not. I would have rolled my eyes at you and been like, absolutely not. Who do you think you are to tell me such a ridiculous
Correct.
Thing?
Yeah.
And now I sit here going, yeah, no, it was me. I did that.
Yeah. And it takes a lot to recognize that and move on from that, actually. So well done you.
Well, yeah, that's it. It's triggering to find those things out. Also, it's cringing. Like, there's so many things I've recognized about myself where I'm like, ooh, that's really uncomfortable to recognize that.
I've been there. I've been there. And I know exactly what you're talking about. It is uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable. But then I have to sit with myself and I become the observer. So I'm like, okay, I pretend to be a coach or somebody like sitting with me asking me questions and saying, if you were really honest with yourself, like, it's not going to go any further than here. I'm your safe place. What would it actually be? And then I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to be really honest, and then I just let it out. And it's always the first things that are there, not trying to like sugarcoat anything for myself, because that's a natural state as well for me, trying to sugarcoat it for myself, but it's okay. But if you're just taking everything away and you're being really raw and really honest with yourself, what's left? And when I can see it like that, I can feel the discomfort, but I don't stay in it, because then I'm like, okay, we've recognized it. That's good. We've recognized it. Okay, so what can we do different next time? Or what is it that you were looking for? So you can just like, so for the pain, instead of having pain and getting a hug from my husband, I can just go, I want a hug from my husband. Let's not experience the pain.
Now you talk about, you know, an awakening to what health and good health is really all about.
Yeah. I went down the rabbit hole of the spiritual world of like learning about the energy systems and just anything I could. Numerology I found fascinating, angels, like absolutely anything that I could learn, I was in it. I wanted to know it all. And it helped massively in the way of being able to understand me, understand other people around me as well. But it was more about me, let's be honest. It was the ego. I'm like, yes, hello. And it was understanding that what I was feeling was there for a reason. Like, it was like learning a language is how I describe it. And you don't just know it. Like, you have to learn it. You have to develop it. You have to have awareness and listen to your intuition, that knowing that you have. But if you're a people pleaser, that is really hard to listen to your inner voice, because it is so overshadowed by other people and what they think. And you don't even know your own beliefs at that point, because you're just trying to please everybody else. And I was a chronic people pleaser. So that was really hard for me to kind of peel those layers away, because again, it's the discomfort, but it's more the identity crisis of, okay, if I don't have this illness, then who actually am I? And I got stuck in the sort of fear for 2 years, because I kept having those thoughts of, well, if I'm not ill, then what do I do? And because I still had the belief that if I overdo it, I would be poorly. So then it's, well, I can't be successful then. So it doesn't matter what I'm going to try. I can only get to a point. And, you know, you have to recognize those things and you have to process it all eventually. 2 years, but I got there. But it was the learning of the mind, the body, the spirit, and how it's all connected. And when I started to dive into trauma and the nervous system, that was like when everything fully clicked. That was when I started to really dive into the trauma and the emotions and all that side of stuff. That it was like the final missing piece, it felt like. It was like I've been on this journey collecting all these little puzzle pieces as I've gone. It's helped. I've understood something. It's unlocked something. I'm teaching something. I'm learning something. And then this bit came and I was like, I get it now. And then everything in the way that I saw things, saw people in my life, just completely switched. It was no longer looking at them from my beliefs and how I live my life. It was looking at them from their experiences and going, oh, I can understand where this is coming from, because they felt abandoned as a child, or, you know, all these different things. And I could finally see even my kids, see them differently as well. And it was like a relief, I think, because you keep so much for yourself in like, because somebody's acting this way because of you. And you, as a people pleaser, you tend to do that quite often. And when you step away and you go, wait a minute, if you just have a look, were they reacting like this before? No. Okay. So they've been triggered. Something's happened and they've been triggered. It could be something that I've said. It can just be a tone. Like, it doesn't have to be words. It can just be the way I look at someone. I might trigger somebody. And the way they're reacting is nothing to do with me. It's to do with what is going on inside of them that hasn't been healed. And then I started to take that and then look at myself in that way, which is so much harder. You can see it in other people, so much easier. But when you've got to then turn it and look at yourself and go, what is it within me that I need to look at? Why did that affect me this way? What was it that was really going on there? And it's not, it's, again, it's not easy. It's just very hard sometimes to be able to say, like, I feel this way, I feel that way. Somebody made me feel this way because of in childhood, somebody else made me feel this way. And, but I'm just carrying it through my whole life instead of going, no, it's not, just breathe, Katie, take a second,
yeah, let step it go. Out. Let it yeah. go. Yeah.
That isn't yeah. it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so it's been a journey.
It has been a journey. It's been a rather wonderful journey though. And yeah. It's fantastic that you have taken responsibility for your well-being. And you've got to a place now where you're even running again, for heaven's sake. Mm. I mean, that's just extraordinary. Well, I say it's extraordinary. Of course, it's not. It's just unusual in that many people would not take the time or, you know, be invested enough to get to that place. I do wish that more people would, though. I do wish that more people would. And in fact, when your book comes out, when's your book coming out?
On the 5th of July, the ebook will be available, and then it'll be available in paperback on the 19th of July.
19th of July, 2024. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that is something I think people, I would recommend you look out for. I've only seen a copy of, you know, the PDF of the book before it goes to print. But now, if you were to say to somebody what the main learning points or the main points of your recovery were, or, you know, what are the main messages that you would want to get out to people right now, what would those be?
I think number one is stop believing what your mind is telling you. I say the lies, like, I that's what how I kind of describe things. I'm like, it's a lie. I have to say it to myself often, just to kind of remind myself that what I used to believe, that was ingrained in me, like that was 100% the truth. And yet I'm sitting here and it's now like, oh, okay, well, that wasn't 100%, even though I truly believed at the time. So no matter what you seem to tell yourself, it doesn't have to be the truth. And I think the next thing is that you have to take acceptance for yourself. You have to take accountability. You have to want it.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's just fantastic to have you on this show, and I've loved talking to you. I actually loved going through your book. I think it's fantastic. So tell us again what the title of the book is and where people can get a hold of you.
Okay, so it's called Chronically Awesome.
I love that name. I love that title for a book. Yeah.
And it will be available on Amazon when it comes out. And then if you fancy stalking me, like I always do with people, you can find me on social media with Hope Light UK.
The inspirational Katie Rose Jones there. Do check out her website and the book once it's published. It's full of great information that can help anyone suffering from ME. One of my beliefs is that the people who have experienced something personally are the best teachers. They really know what they're talking about. Well, it's time for another short break right now, but stay tuned. I'll be back with more right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and if you suffer from seasonal allergies or just want to minimise your exposure to airborne particles, Nasal Guard may well be able to help. Pooja Hanagandhi is an ambassador for Nasal Guard and a student who found herself constantly suffering in dusty lecture halls. She has other issues, including a cat allergy and a sensitivity to some perfumes, something that I actually share with her. Pooja talked to me about how her life had been affected before she discovered Nasal Guard Gel.
sometimes it would just take one or two sneezes and I would just be sniffling throughout the lectures. And it really just got to a point where I was like, sometimes I wouldn't want to go to class. Sometimes I would just wake up feeling really anxious about what I was going to be doing that day, if I were going to be around a lot of people. And I even noticed that sometimes like somebody would walk into the room and I would catch a whiff, no big deal, and then start sneezing. So clearly there was a triggering effect that would lead to me sneezing. And that's when I started branching out and asking like, okay, what are my options? Where can I go? And that's when I found Nasal Guard, lo and behold, and have been using it ever since. So.
Wow. So how long has that been? How long have you been using it?
I'd say for about a year now.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you know what's causing your reaction? Is it an allergy? Is it like people who have cats, for instance, who you stand next to, you suddenly get triggered?
Yes. Actually, it's so funny you say that because it's specifically cats for me.
A lot of people are. A lot of people really are.
That makes me feel so much better because growing up, I used to be so like ashamed of even saying that, you know, like, oh, people would be like, oh, meet my cat. And the first thing that I'd be saying would be like, oh, I'm allergic to cats. But now, yeah. Now that sneezing reaction does not happen anywhere near as much whenever I'm around cats or other animals. Dogs, I'm typically fine around, but I will say there are like certain perfumes, like little tinges in perfumes or scents here and there that, like I said, when somebody would just walk into the room, I love the smell. I can notice somebody walking into the room, but then my nose would start freaking out. I'd start sneezing all over the place and I couldn't even stop sometimes. It would be like a sneezing fit. So thankfully I found this and it really has been helping me out like immensely in those situations. Like I don't even notice it until kind of like after some time has passed where I'm like, oh, I've just been kind of hanging out, doing my work and like nothing even happened. So I've definitely had a multitude of experiences when it comes to being very inconvenienced by it, to mildly inconvenienced by it. Definitely have had really good days and then have had really bad days. And that's why I really do love the product because I feel like even on a bad day or a good day, it's like it at least provides me this sense of comfort and this standard, like, okay, you're going to be all right as long as you have this kind of vibe for me. So it's definitely a really nice aid for me to have. And it definitely, I am really happy that I found this. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. You also have found it useful in terms of your general health, have you?
Honestly, post-COVID, I had been kind of looking for some way to sanitize a little bit more effectively than just lathering on hand sanitizer or whatever that literally just dries your skin out. So this is such an amazing alternative for your face that actually provides that sense of comfort and that extra barrier of relief. It's amazing.
I understand that the thing about Nasal Guard is that you just don't even feel you're using it.
Oh my gosh. I really wish I knew about it sooner because it's so convenient to use. I have so many ways I love to use it too, because it's kind of gotten me more into like my skincare, funny enough, because now it's like another added step in my skincare and I look forward to it so much. But obviously I do my skincare for me. I do my skincare before that. Before I apply Nasal Guard. So for example, I'll do like my moisturizer, maybe like a little serum for my face, and then like an eye cream, and then I'll dollop on a little like pea-sized amount of the Nasal Guard product onto my nostrils, and I'm good to go. And then like literally just how you mentioned, like it's so hard sometimes to like know that you put it on in a way because you just don't realize it. And I think a big part of that is because it doesn't even like, so when it dries, it's almost like you would expect it to dry and like harden over your nose. Like that does not happen. It's actually like very moisturizing for your nose. So in a way, it kind of like gives me that moisturization and that better like breathing effect than really anything else I've tried before.
It really feels just like you've put the nicest moisturizer on. You just don't know it's there.
I agree. I think actually I've recently been trying the Cool Menthol flavors, which have been such a nice like breath of fresh air every now and then, like so refreshing. And I've been a little bit like apprehensive to try it before because like I'm a little bit sensitive to scents, as I mentioned earlier, but thankfully it's working just fine for me and I love using it.
I don't know about you, but I have very sensitive skin and I'm very careful about what I put on my skin. So I, you know, was curious to see how Nasal Guard would perform. But for me, it's not giving me any problems. And I'm guessing that's the same for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even over my makeup, it's perfect to kind of tag on before I go out anywhere. And that's usually my best time that I like to use it, usually like right before or after I apply makeup, typically after. So like it stays on for longer and I can just kind of reapply it if I want to. But if I'm also done with taking my makeup off, sometimes I'll just like add a little bit on just because why not? But
so what do you think about the cost of Nasal Guard?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great question because I mentioned before, like I've been kind of facing these allergies for months, like close to a year. And again, I really didn't want to like accept that it was that bad until I got myself kind of checked out and looked at and I realized like, okay, this is a real thing. I am allergic to a lot of stuff. What I love about Nasal Guard is that when you get one, like a tube, you know, you can try that out, but they have like bigger sizes and like value packs that you can get for way cheaper. And they always have like discounts and stuff, which is just like such a blessing for me that I can like hop online and just type in like a little 20% off kind of thing. So it's not only just really affordable for me, but very convenient for me to take with me and kind of just try out, give to other friends if I need to with the way it like dispenses. It's just, yeah, a completely different way to look at allergies for sure.
Yeah. And something that works, and also it's preventative and it's not a drug.
Exactly. It's very safe. It's safe for anybody to use. And I tell people that all the time because they're like, whenever my friends are like, oh, are you sure? Like I can just use some of this. I'm like, yeah. It's totally fine. Like I use this all the time. You're going to love it.
So all in all, your experience with Nasal Guard has been extremely positive.
I would say so, definitely. It's something that I really can't live without. And if I couldn't, if it wasn't, like, thankfully, I can take it with me everywhere. Like, it's TSA compliant. I can pop one in my bag. I literally have one in every one of, like, my book bags and purses. All my friends will just step into my car and like open my door and be like, what's that? And it'll just be like all the little consoles. But yeah, I can't live without it. It's perfect for me.
Well, that sounds fantastic. And yes, you, as you say, it's TSA compliant. So you can fly with it in your hand luggage and nobody's going to worry about that at all. And in fact, you know, it is suggested that it's great for air travel because, you know, when you're sitting on an aeroplane or even in a train and you have all that air just being recycled around you, it's a way of making sure that you don't take anything on board that you don't want to, isn't it?
100%. And it's so funny because I'd never even thought about that until I started using the product. And that's when I saw the versatility within this product and their product line. I mean, they have like a spray that I still have yet to use because it's like, I haven't been on a flight lately. So I'm kind of like about to, I think in the next few months, I'm hoping to go travel. So around that time, I'm hoping to use their spray to kind of see how that could work for me.
Yeah. And how does the spray work?
Yeah, I believe they have two sprays. They have a nasal spray and then they have like a mask spray. So if you spray your mask with the mask spray, it should, I mean, I don't really have the product on me, but it should filter out airborne particles. And I'm assuming you can do pretty much the same thing that Nasal Guard would do, but for the mask. Yeah. But yeah, and for the nasal spray, it's essentially the same idea as Nasal Guard itself, the gel, but in a spray form.
Yeah. So with the mask, it's just giving you that extra layer of protection.
Oh yeah. Which is again, perfect for traveling. So I will be grabbing one of those on my next flight. And, you know, like all it takes is like a pea sized amount and it goes such a long way. Like just a little bit will last you the whole day. So I can't stress that enough. For me, it's like saved my days. Some really, really tough or, you know, stressful days. It's really saved me. So I can't be more thankful for that.
A nasal guard success story there. Now, if you want to try it for yourself, just click on the link on the UK Health Radio homepage to order. Today's show was brought to you in association with Nasal Guard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants, as well as indoor and outdoor allergens. If you want to find out more about me, then do check out my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. I've just uploaded a new ebook to my website that introduces the concept of practical alchemy, gives you a little bit of an insight into what it's all about. And you'll find a beautiful guided meditation in there too, all free to download. Now, if you want to watch my conversation with Katie Rose Jones, there's a slightly longer version on my YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking. And if you're interested in energy healing, which helped Katie so much, check out my energy clearing work at safehavenhealing.uk. If you like what you see, do book a time for a no-fee chat to see if it's a fit for you. And that's just about all for today. But before I go, let me remind you about the UK Health Radio Awards, which are now in full swing. This year, not only do we have a lineup of truly the best in health, but you can also vote for your favourite presenter. So do head over to the homepage and click on the awards link to find your favourites. Voting ends on June the 23rd, so not a great deal of time left. Right now, though, it's time to say thank you for listening. Join me next time for more Practical Alchemy. And until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.